living on the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now that's a verse all of us ought to know, and we ought to know where it is and be able to quote it and understand it, and we ought to ponder upon it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let's look at what he says here. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. So faith is an important doctrine in Scripture, isn't it? It's something we ought to fully understand, because God says you can't please me without it. You can't. He then says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, you just think about it. There's a lot of people supposedly coming to God, but they don't believe he is.
Right.
They don't really believe in the God, our Creator, who made us and gave us life. And the one who died for our sins. They don't know him. They know a concept about God and so forth, but they do not know the God who gave us his word in this Bible. And then he said, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does that involve? How do you diligently seek the Lord? First, in salvation, and faith has two things, and that's what we're talking about tonight, faith. There is saving faith. That is the initial act. When we hear the word of God, we see the word of God tells us we are sinners, lost in our sins, and we're on the way to a devil's hell. And by the way, the Bible clearly said, Jesus said it, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right.
Boy, I tell you what, the Calvinists kind of missed that one too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Now, they never did read that one, because they say God created hell for a man and it withholds his grace and everything. Well, anyway, it's, the foolishness of that teaching is just beyond belief. But he says, him that diligently seek him. How do we seek him? How can you know about God? Well, if you're a Mormon, let me tell you what you can do. You can pray and ask God to give you a burning in your bosom. And then you'll know what's right. Well, I hope you didn't eat pizza and go and seeking an answer from the Lord. You ought to get a burning in your bosom. And it may not be from God. In fact, it won't be from God. Could be from pizza. You know what I mean? Or some other thing.
Too many pickles.
Could be. Right. And them peppers you gave me that time. That's exactly right. But how do we know? How do we know? And how can we diligently seek God? The only way we can do it is consult his word, the Bible. So there's a faith that saves. It's based upon God's promise in the word of God. His revelation as to who we are, what we are, where we came from, and what his plans are. And that just particularly says who we are and what is our fate and our situation. Then there is another faith, which is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. It's just applied differently. And that is a faith that lives by the Word of God.
Amen.
Again, what did I say? Lives by the Word of God. The truth that is in this Bible. And nothing else. And you can, you know, it's amazing to me sometimes. I get almost frustrated when I begin trying to even mention it. That people will go beyond God's word and speculate and have opinions on this and opinions on that. I have a guy who, he has an opinion. He's been writing me now on the internet for about 3 days, and he's got an opinion on election. That's his opinion. That's his idea of what election is. And I'm going to tell you, he's dead wrong. I wrote him back 3 times and told him what election was. Every time he came back stating his opinion and his ideas. And I told him, I said, you know what? You believe a lie. Your opinion isn't worth a dime. So you're calling God a liar.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, quit making excuses and accept the reality of what you're doing. You're not basing your belief, your opinions, and your ideas upon what God's Word says. That's the kind of faith that we're talking about. Now, we have too often, in fact, most churches today and most Christians today, in some way or another, some more than others, let the world and this religious crowd around us tell us what faith is. They're defining faith for us, and we're going along like a little gullible little puppy dog, and we're accepting it. Yep. You turn on the TV, you know, send me $100, you know, and let's see a faith, and boy, you'll get $1,000 in the mail, and all this kind of stuff. And believe it or not, people believe that stuff. People say, well, if you have enough faith, then you can move mountains. Didn't Jesus say that? And he sure did. Jesus is a master of language. Yep. You understand that? He used a metaphor, a figure of speech. People say, well, if I had enough faith, I can move that mountain over there. Well, you can, well, you just keep on going. I'll tell you what, that mountain ain't going to move. It ain't God's will to move mountains. But he was using a metaphor. You know, like I could say, Grady is big as a house. Right? That's, or maybe Brother Shelton there. Or maybe you could even say it about me. But it's a metaphor. It doesn't really describe. It's describing something, and it's using an exaggerated statement to make a point. That's all it is. Now it says here, we cannot please God apart from faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please. Now let me ask you a question. Let's make it personal. Do you live by faith? Do you live by faith or not? Because you're either living by faith or you're living without faith. You're either trusting God or you're not trusting God. Yeah. You're either living according to the Word of God or you're not living according to the Word of God. And you know, we're living in an age today where there's no fence lines, you know. It's all mingled together. Well, let me tell you what. There's a fence line. There's a sharp line between having faith and not having faith.
Amen.
There's a sharp line. And this Bible defines that line and tells us what it is. And so what we are to do is to believe God and conform our minds and hearts to accept what He has said. Because let me tell you who He is. He is the one who created us. So we're not to let the world. The foolishest thing in the world for us to do is to let the world define faith for us. And that's what is going on all around us. Many have the idea about faith that it's some mystical thing. In other words, they say, well, you know, if I really concentrate on something hard enough, and I just really put my mind to this thing, and so forth, I can move mountains, you know, I can do these great things. And so they think that somehow or another that faith is some mystical mental exercise or work that they do that conjures up some spiritual result. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie. There's nothing mystical about faith. Well, where in the Bible does it say faith is mystical? Or even hints that it's mystical. Faith is not something that's mystical. It's not something that I got to coerce myself into accepting something that I ordinarily would not accept, and that's faith. No, that's not faith. It's not existentialism, which is a great big word. It just means a leap in the dark, you know. And that's a lot of people believe that's what faith is. Well, you don't really know the end result of the thing, but you have faith. So you just jump out and take action. No, sir, that's not biblical faith either. Biblical faith knows the end and the result of what it believes in.
That's it.
And what it puts its trust in.
Amen.
I know with all my heart that I'm a child of God, saved and going to heaven. I'm born again by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He saved me, forgave my sins, and gave me eternal life. How do I know that? I know it because of what He said and the promises that He has given me in His Word.
Right.
Pure and simple, and there's no other way that describes what's happened to me, and no other way for me to understand it. That is the reality of what happened. So therefore, I have full confidence, absolute confidence and assurance and my salvation in Jesus Christ. I didn't work for it, didn't earn it. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell and everything that is hell.
Yeah.
But by God's grace and His mercy and His love, He gave me His freely offered gift of grace. And I thank God that it wasn't no act of mine or no work of mine. I accepted it because He enabled me to accept it by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But the world has a warped idea of what faith is, and these unscrupulous guys and preachers and evangelists and so forth, they prey upon people and presenting this warped idea of faith that it is some work of our mind. It's a mental exercise in which we do. False teaching says we can manipulate God. Yeah. My friend, you cannot manipulate God. He is Almighty God, and you can't change Him, and He's not a little puppet you got on a string that if you do certain things, He's got to respond the way you want Him to respond. That is not faith, but yet that's what's being taught all around us. And a whole lot of times, we find ourselves kind of, even unconsciously, accepting that understanding of it. God is a person. He is Almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent. Not some force at our disposal, and He will not be manipulated by anyone, including the TV evangelist.
Right.
Who send it? But by the way, you send in that little seed now, and you can get your $1,000 in the mail. And the day and time, you know, it might even be true because we have a president that's just wanting to give it all away, and we don't even have it to give, but he's giving it, folks. Why do I say that? Anyway, because it's true, folks. This is what the Bible says faith is. When one has this view, it actually clouds what true faith is. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
It clouds what true faith is. And by the way, who wants to cloud what true faith is? Satan. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to keep you in darkness and in confusion so that you don't exercise true biblical faith. That's what he wants. Why? When he's doing that to you, and he's convinced you of that, and so forth, you're worthless to God.
Right.
You become worthless. Do you remember what we said? Hebrews said it. You cannot please God apart from faith. So if he's got you believing these false ideas of faith, you're not pleasing God.
Right.
Do you see what we're saying? It's amazing to me how many times we read the words in this book and we don't understand what we read. And it's because of these outside influences, because we're trying to get our information from sources that are not based in this book. Now, I want something that's based, it's real.
Amen.
And there's only one thing in this world that is an absolute, and that's this Bible. And what it teaches is an absolute. Now, there are absolute laws and so forth, like the natural laws that God has implemented, they're absolute. And yet they look at that, and these scientists and these great intellectuals tell us there are no absolutes. Well, yes, there are absolutes.
Yeah.
The absolutes are what God has stated and what His plan is and what He has put into practice, what He has created. And in fact, faith is action. It's not a mental exercise. It is action. It is accepting in one's heart what God has said and then acting upon it. I heard years ago the late Paul Harvey say, "If you don't live it, you don't believe it." You've heard me say that probably before. That's the truth. If you don't live it, you don't believe it. And so you can have a false idea of faith, and it'll put you on the sidelines, and it'll rob you of your peace and joy. It'll rob you of the blessings of God, having a false understanding on what faith is. And how many people write me on the internet and through my website, Bible Truth, and tell me in great anguish? I had a girl from England just 3 or 4 days ago write me. She wrote me a wow. I mean, she wrote me an email not that long. And I don't like these long emails. I don't have time to read them. And I tried my best to read it. I read probably about 3/4 of it, but I got the gist of what she was saying, in other words. She's all in anguish. She's having all these problems and everything. She's all confused and everything. And why? Because she doesn't understand what faith is. And so she has no assurance of salvation. She says, I've been living in anguish now for years. I am scared to death. I'm going to die and go to hell. And yet she had made a profession of faith. She believes in God. You see the thing? I believe the woman's saved. And I believe Satan had robbed her of her assurance of salvation. She doesn't understand what God has said in His Word. Now, let me just tell you something else. You can strongly and absolutely believe in something with all your heart. It won't do you a dime's worth of good. The Mormons do that. I've been in Mormon country for 23 years, and I think I understand pretty much what they do and what they believe. They sincerely, with all their heart, believe in what they have been taught and their church teaches them. They have put their faith in it. And their eternal destiny is wrapped up in the false teachings that they have accepted of the LDS Church. So they're 100% for it. Oh man, you know. And they're sincere, deadly sincere. And in one sense of the word, it's hard not to have a respect for somebody who believes so strongly about something. But here's the problem. Their faith is based in something that does not exist. Our faith is based in the Word of God. It's based on truth. Their faith is based in lies and that they have been told and in the deceptions that they have been told. So what is a simple and honest description of what faith is? Well, faith is based on belief and it's based upon the promises of God. Now, is that a mental exercise? It's mental only in the sense that we hear it. We know who I mean, if you just think about this. Now, let me back up a little bit while I make the statement. Think about it. Who made the statement? Who said that if we would put our faith and belief in Jesus Christ and His shed blood for our sins, that He would save us, give us eternal life, and forgive all our sins? Who said that? Almighty God. Yeah. Do you think Almighty God can do what He says He can do? Yeah. Do you think Almighty God can lie? No. So it would be really for a person to come up and say, well, you know, I don't know whether I really believe that or not. I'm not trying to make fun of them or anything, but I'm saying this. That's kind of silly. Yeah. That's silly to say because they don't know God. That's why it's foolishness unto them. They don't understand it. They've not accepted it. So have they exercised faith? Absolutely not. Because faith is action. If you hear the Word of God, if you believe it in your heart, and accept that as truth, that's a pretty simple thing to do. You know, that's pretty simple. If I had a $100 bill and I walked over to it and I handed it to you and I said, I just want to give you this $100 bill, and you say, well, thank you, and you reach out and take it, you know, where's the faith in that? Well, number one, you saw I had the $100 bill. You saw that I could do what I said I was going to do. And when I offered it to you, no strings attached, you took it. Now, if you had to work for me that day or something, and that wouldn't be, that would not be saving faith. It wouldn't be a gift, would it? Nope. It wouldn't be a gift. It would be something that you earn. But God says it's a gift. So I can't, if I believe God when He says, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I believe that, then guess what? I'm not going to try to work for my salvation. I'm going to accept the freely offered gift that God said. And then because He is God, and because Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on that cross for my sins, I believe it. I put my faith and trust in it. And then guess what I do? I make a public profession of my faith in Christ. I follow the Lord in baptism, in believers' baptism, water by immersion baptism, and then I start living for Almighty God because the Holy Spirit of God has indwelled me. And you see the natural progression of what faith does and accomplishes in a life. A lot of people walk aisles and don't have faith. A lot of people make professions of faith and do not have faith. How do you know that? Because they don't follow through on it. They don't really believe it. Maybe they want it. It's one thing to desire salvation. I don't know anybody. I have met some people who said, I don't really care where I go to heaven or hell. You know, all my buddies will be down there, which is a lie. They don't know anything. That, again, ignorance. They don't know anything about hell. You could be in a room in the place of hell with 20,000 of your buddies, and you wouldn't know they were there. Hell is a place of total darkness. And there's no fellowship in hell. You're there by yourself alone with your thoughts of how you rejected Almighty God all your life.
Amen.
That's what hell's all about. And in the fires of torment. How's a person saved? We hear the gospel. We hear what he says. And then we respond. And we step forward. You say, well, do I have to understand all that? No. When I got saved, I didn't understand it all. I'd been raised in a church. I'd heard the gospel to some semblance of the gospel preached and so forth. I'd been to Sunday school, and I'd heard the Sunday school lessons and so forth and everything. But I never really understood salvation. It never really been explained to me. Basically, what I got in Sunday school was Old Testament Bible stories, and they're good and so forth. And then there was some little application, you know, made about it and so forth. But basically what it was all about is you ought to live good, you know, you ought to live a good life. And yeah. But I never understood what faith was about. Nobody ever explained that to me. So when I was sitting in a funeral home, and God got a hold of my heart, because I looked over in a casket and I realized one day I was going to be in one of those. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I said, my goodness. All I'm doing, my whole life, everything I'm trying to accomplish and everything, I'm going to die and it's all going to be gone. I'm not going to carry one piece of it with me. And what in the world is the purpose of living one's life and working as hard as I was working and end up with nothing? And that's what it was all about. And so God got a hold of my heart. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the preacher, he got up, and he's a country preacher. He wasn't real dynamic or nothing, and that's the kind of preachers I really like, by the way. I'm scared of these dynamic ones. Now, take that with some qualification, okay? But you know what? He just got up and gave the gospel, and I said, you know what? That if that's God's word. He read it right out of the Bible. The Bible is true. And God made that promise, and so I accepted it by faith.
Amen.
What kind of faith? I just believe what the Bible said because it's the Bible. It's God's word.
Right.
And for me not to believe it would be stupid. And that, you know, that's a word you're not supposed to use in the pulpit. I've been called down because of it. Why, you shouldn't use that word. Well, it's a pretty good description. It's and it's a pretty good adjective, and it describes very amply what the situation is. Okay, so what is faith's part in salvation? You just believe God. You accept what he says in truth. Now, let's get into another part of it. Do you understand that God's promises are immutable? What's that word mean? It just means don't change. People tell me, well, by the way, in your dispensational truth of care, well, God has never changed. So dispensational truth is not applicable. God's always done the same thing all the time. And I said, have you ever read the Word of God even 5 minutes? I mean, to make such a statement like that, certainly, I mean, I had one tell me that just recently. And I said, I want to ask you a question. Did you go out to the temple today and sacrifice a lamb? When was the last time you did that? And he said, well, I've never done that. I said, well, that's what God told him to do in the Old Testament. Why aren't you doing it if God's not changed? Silly. Silly. And that's a better word than stupid.
I like stupid.
If it's true, if God is immutable, He is able and He's promised to do. If that's true and we believe it, we are not in peril. We can have full confidence in what God's going to do. I recently visited a church in Eastern North Carolina. And the pastor was sharing with me about his brother. And his brother's a member of a Baptist church, by the way. He's a deacon. Does not understand salvation. Admits that he never really personally has trusted Christ as his Savior. This pastor is a godly man. And he knows the Word of God. And his heart's broken for his brother. And here's a man in a Baptist church listening to preaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, holding the honored position in that church as being a deacon, and which is, and they by the way, that is the way they use deacons in that church is not biblical. That's not what deacons is all about and what the Bible teaches. It's another thing. But anyway, his brother has not believed. That's the problem. His brother has not believed what God said. I want to ask you a question. Why would God give us His Bible and tell us things in it if it's not true? And what is the point in giving it to us if we can't believe it and put our trust in it? And what is the point in giving it to us and writing it down and then leaving it up to us to discern in our own hearts if it's true or false? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Why would you do that? It's just like taking some instructions on something that you're going to try to put together, and you look at the instructions and say, well, you know, I don't know where that guy really knew what he was talking about or not, and you know, and you don't know anything about it, but you're going to try to put it together without the instructions, and then you're going to, you know what you're doing? You're telling the guy who made it that you know more about it than he does. That's exactly what people are doing about God. That's exactly what people are doing. The Bible says hell is an eternal place. Yeah. And again, you rarely ever meet anybody who says he wants to go to hell. So in a sense, they believe there is a hell. And in a sense, they understand that hell is a place of torment and fire, and it's a place of judgment. And they understand that. But they don't believe it. They don't believe it. If they believed it, they'd be fleeing from it. They'd be fleeing to Christ.
Yeah.
By the way, I know, because that's what I did. I did that. And we could go on. I'll keep you tonight. I was 5 minutes late coming in, but you know why, and so forth. And I appreciate you being tolerant with me on that. So, I'm going to skip one point, okay? And I'm going through an eight. So you just hang loose a minute. Do you find biblical examples in the Bible of faith? Why? Because God wants us to know the practical application of faith.
That's right.
He tells us what it is. He presents it in a theological way. And you know, it's a big word. And don't be scared of it. Theology is just a study of God. Nothing frightening about that. It's just a study of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
So we ought all to be theologians. And in that sense, because we're saying it. Do we find it? Absolutely. All throughout the Bible, we find it. Now, let me just show you how it worked in Acts chapter 11. Turn with me there in Acts chapter 11. And I think this is a good illustration. When I read this and I saw this, verse 19, chapter 11 of the book of Acts. Now they which were scattered abroad from the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. Do you understand what was going on? Here are people who had believed in Jesus Christ. These were Jews. They had believed in Jesus Christ that He was the Messiah. By the way, they had just crucified Jesus Christ and He had risen from the grave. They were also killing other Jews who had believed and put their faith, and there was a great persecution. They stoned Stephen. You know what? It wasn't kind of popular to be a Christian among the Jews of their day, did it? I mean, they were in dire straits. You understand? You could lose your life if you accepted Christ. But it's an amazing thing. They were not afraid of losing their life. In the sense that, they still believed. And having some common sense about them, and this is a very smart thing they did, and God used this, they left Jerusalem and the areas around Jerusalem, which where the persecution was so strong, and they went north out of Israel into Syria, and there they preached the gospel. The same gospel that they were being persecuted for. Now let me ask you a question. Did these people believe God or not? What was more important to them? God's word or their very lives? And they begin, and by the way, if the Jews in Jerusalem didn't like it, do you think the Jews other places are good? But it goes on to say, and some of them were of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they had come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed and turned unto the Lord. By the way, if anybody ever asked you, was Paul the first missionary? Say no, because he wasn't. He was not the first missionary. These were the first missionaries.
That's right.
Now, if you go back to Peter, he also was a missionary going to Cornelius and into Syria and so forth. But here he said, and the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all, and that with purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord, unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. Then parted Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Yeah. Now, that's practical faith in dire circumstances. Not good circumstances at all. But you know what? Here they left their homes. They were being persecuted for the sake of Christ. All they had to do is say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. And people would have left them alone. And they could have stayed and had their own jobs and their homes and everything would have been hunky-dory. But they didn't want to do that. They believed God and they put their lives on the line because of their faith in what God had said and His promises. So they moved forward. And notice it says this. What does it say? Without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, it kind of sounds like that the hand of the Lord was with them. Why? Because they had faith. And they were living by faith. And by the way, that's the only thing God will bless. That's the only thing. How many churches have I been in where I couldn't see any example of faith whatsoever? Whatsoever. I've been in churches that had big bank accounts. They had money coming out their ears. Where was the faith? They didn't have any faith. Where was their faith located? Where was it coming from? Their bank account.
Yeah.
And of course they open up all kinds of things and do all kinds of community things and all this kind of stuff. And boy, you know, oh man, we're really doing the work for the Lord. And they're not winning anybody to the Lord. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not out knocking on doors. What are they doing? They're just sitting back in their nice cushioned seats or pews. And boy, these are some of the best pews I've ever sat on. And I got some of that foam from Brother Gray. It went in some of them that he wasn't using. And so forth. But you know what? They believed God. And it translated into their lives. And it produced action. And by the way, whatever faith you have, if it don't produce action, it is not faith. Let's draw the line and let's accept the reality of it. And all of us, our times, will be faced with this and we need to face the reality of it. Am I really believing God or am I not?
Yeah.
That's the question. Am I or am I not? And if I'm not, then there's no faith involved. If I am, faith has to be there because faith is the motivator. Over and over again, we see it in the Bible. We could go through the book of Hebrews and the Bible's Hall of Faith, and we could look at each one of the men, beginning with Enoch, and go right down the list of all these many, many men who, in the Old Testament times, lived by faith and how God honored them. It's not a leap into the dark, my friend. It's a leap into the light. It's a leap into the light. It's a leap into knowing the truth and accepting it and believing it and then putting it into practice. And it's not also, I was in a church just recently, and I was in a Sunday school class that the pastor was leading, and they were talking about faith and about answered prayer. And now listen to me carefully what I'm going to say. One of the ladies in there, she says, "My faith has grown so much lately." And the pastor said, "Amen." And several other people said, "Amen." And then she explained, she says, God has been answering my prayers, and I've been praying for things, and God has answered my prayers, and that has increased my faith. Now, think about it. Are you thinking? Is the answer prayer what our faith is based upon? And the pastor then made a boo-boo in the sense that he gave me an opportunity to stick my foot in my mouth and to speak. And he said, "Has anybody else got a comment on this?" There up my hand went. And I said, "We need to see God working in our lives. It's a great encouragement and uplifting to us. Wonderful thing to see God working, and all of us love it, don't we? And it does. It just lifts our spirits. We love to see God working and so forth. But I'll ask you a question: when you're praying and God isn't answering your prayers, and nothing you see, you can physically see, is happening, what happens then? Does your faith increase in that, or does it not?" Or does your faith decrease because you're not seeing God answering your prayers? So what are you doing? You begin to doubt God. That's a lack of faith. You understand that? That's a lack of faith, to doubt what God is. Listen, God said He would never leave us nor forsake us. We are His children. And so practical things that God has said to us, some practical. He said, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, no, you wouldn't give him a rock. You know, He's going to give us what we need and what we want and what's best for us. And though I may not see God working, I know He's working. Why? Because He said He would. And I don't have to see the result of it. How many people have, Christians have contracted cancer? And that awful disease began destroying their bodies, and the churches were praying for them, and their friends were praying for them, and they were praying for themselves that God would heal them, and God did not heal them. Did that kill their faith? Did their faith decrease because God did not work? No. If your faith is based upon that, then it would. But if your faith is based upon what God's Word says, your faith will never wane. And you'll say, "This is in God's provision for my life." And so, if I got cancer and I'm dying for cancer, of cancer, then what does God want me to do? What is God doing in my life? And how can I honor Him in this that I'm experiencing? And then you begin to look. That's what faith, you see, that's the practical working of faith. That's what faith does. It directs you to serving God. And it helps. It makes things clearer for you. And it builds assurance. And I'm going to be honest with you. You say, "Well, Pastor, it sounds like it's so easy. All you have to do is just fall right in line. No, see, it's difficult sometimes. But you see, we remind ourselves when the doubts come. And let me tell you something. Doubts will come. Amen. They'll come. And the devil's not going to let you alone. Okay? The doubts are going to come. And the bad situations are going to come in your life. And when they come, the only thing you can do is realize, what else can I do but trust God? He is Almighty. He is God. He created me. He made me. He knows everything about it, even the number of hairs that's on my head. So where else can I go? Who else can I trust in? Where else can I go but to put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone? You see? Kind of leaves you out on a limb in the sense that you don't have no place else to go. If you're sensible and if you understand who God is, and is, what is it said over there in Hebrews chapter 11? He says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Doesn't He say that? And before that, He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You see, that's the heart of faith. You go back to verse 1 in chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? In other words, faith accepts the reality of the situation and the things that we are hoping for, even though we don't see any evidence of it. Now, that word reality is a wonderful word. Reality puts everything in the right perspective. Reality just simply means that's the way it is. And it is no other way. This is the way it is. So faith believes in the reality of the truth of who God is and His promises to us. And it accepts it. And we don't need to see it. Wonderful when we do. What a wonderful thing to see somebody got saved. Had a 3 days ago. Had a guy write me, and he's taking my new converts class that online new converts class. And he put down there who led him to the Lord, and he put Cooper Abrams. And I'm saying to myself, I don't know who this guy is. I've never met him. I don't know him from Adam. But he said, I led him to the Lord. Then it dawned on me. You know what happened? He read the gospel message on the internet that is there in almost every page of the internet that on my website. He read it and he believed it and he accepted it. And guess what? In action. I know he has faith. You know what he did? He goes and starts taking a new converts class. Why? Because he's a new convert. That's what new converts do. They want to know about God. You see? Now, anyway, I won't have to quit. Isn't it a wonderful thing to understand what true faith is? And to be freed from all these cumbersome and burdensome false ideas of what faith is.
Right.
To know what it is. You can walk out that door tonight and you can say, I'm believing and trusting in God. And you can have a bad day. You know, you ladies talk about a bad hair day. You can have one of them bad hair days. And you can still be rejoicing in your heart. Knowing that you're in God's hands. Knowing that you're in God's hands. Never will remember. Never will forget. Cherish. A fellow named Smith, by the way. He was one of the last persons I talked to in Beaver before I left. I had resigned the church, and this man was dying of cancer. And I went by to visit him on the way out. I knew he was nearing the end, and he died a few days later after we had already left. I wanted to preach his funeral, but I wasn't there to do it, and so forth. But as I was sitting by his bedside, and we were talking and so forth, and he would grimace. You could tell the pain was just... Oh, it was just so unbearable for him. And my hand was on his hand, and it was on his chest, and he was hot. He was just hot from that cancer was just burning him up, and the fever was all there. And Brother Smith is sitting there, and you know what? I'm in anguish for him. My heart's broken for him. And I said, Brother, let's pray. And he said, let's do. So I prayed, and I prayed for him and asked God to help him and so forth and so forth. And then he prayed. Prayed aloud. You know what he prayed? Said, thank you, dear Jesus, for being so good to me. Thank you for all you have done for me. That was his prayer.
That's hallelujah, brother.
That's hallelujah. That's shouting ground. Thank God. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to be a preacher and to be able to see some of those things that God does. Paul said something. I'm going to try to remember. I've got it in my notes, but I want to read it to you. If I can find it. Here it is. This is the end of a life of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. The man was in prison and was just shortly after this beheaded. For what? Because he believed God. Because he had not only saving faith, but he had living faith. He put what God's word says in the application. And he wasn't trying to question God. They tried to figure out what God's doing. Do you ever do that? I have. We begin to question what God's doing. That's not faith, folks. Now, we can try to understand it as best we can, but when we start doubting God and his intentions, that's not faith. So biblical faith is what? It's action. It's doing what God says based upon his promises. Regardless of whether it looks like it's working or not. Based upon the reality that God is who he says he is. And I am persuaded, as is Paul, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him unto that day. That'll see you through any circumstance. I am persuaded. Now let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for a few minutes together tonight. What a wonderful thing it is to hear the Word of God preached, to read these wonderful, wonderful pages. And Lord, in a real sense, we just touched the tip of the iceberg as to what faith truly is. But dear Lord, we've tried to present the principles that are in. Help us, dear Lord, not to be misled, misguided by the false teachers and those around us who distort the Word of God and distort the wonderful faith that you have created and made and which is your plan for us. Help us to trust it wholly, absolutely, completely. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we stand before you. Lord, we're judged according to our faith. What you did through us in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.